Hello, welcome to episode number 46 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
I am Robert Rosenthal.
Robert, you're not with NCAA regional golf play and the U of I men's golf team in Athens, Georgia.
It's stressing me out, too. I need to, I'm not good at just following scores online. I need to know.
You mean like as a skill?
Yes. I do this. This is the honest truth. Like, I'll be like, okay, I'm not going to check the scores again until 11:45. Because, like, refresh. Was that a bogey? How come they don't have, how come they don't have a score? Trey's score isn't posted on 11. Like, I can't handle just information. I need more details. I used to do the same thing when a game wasn't being broadcast, but you could get the score. I'd be like, I can't just watch the score updates. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to check in 45 minutes. I have to do that to myself or I'll freak out. That's how I am. That's how I am as a human person.
But because of that, for you to not be present usually means something very significant is going on, that you would not go to a golf postseason event.
Yes, I have two grandchildren en route. One is already here. The other is due to arrive any moment. And so I am sitting this one out in case there is a grandchild born and I can get to St. Louis to meet that little one.
So, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. My kids are having kids at an alarming, alarming rate. I'm going to have 27 grandkids soon. That's obviously an exaggeration. But, yes, there are a lot of little Rosenthals running around in this world.
That is outstanding. You're up to six?
Yes. Yes. This will be seven when this little one is born in the next week or so. So, yeah, I mean, that's my life now, man. Like, again, for people who don't know my story, I married a single mom and adopted her children. And so the boys were 8, 10, and 12 at the time. And so I have never parented below age 8. I never did a single thing besides starting with the youngest at age 8 and up. So I'm getting it all in with grandkids. And I missed all diaper phases. I missed most all of I had a bad dream, can I sleep in here? I missed like every ounce of all these things. So I am now entering that phase early as a grandparent and loving it.
How many grandparents are starting podcasts?
That's right. That's right. You know, like since
we're
the grandkids
the
came
here
along,
once
that's
again.
when all this gray started coming in. I think it's like, you know, when like Obama became president and then you look at a picture 8 years later and there's all the gray hair and all that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going through that. It's either Illini Athletics or it's grandkids. One of the two.
This is how following Illinois Athletics, this is what we'll do.
This
will
is
do
what happens.
Before and
kids.
After.
That's right. That's right. but no, it's great. It's the best and I'm built for it. Have I told you what we've gone over what my grandfather name is, right? Have we gone over this?
Bolo,
yes.
Yes, I am. You've told, Bolo. I don't know if the people remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, it wouldn't stop you from repeating a story anyway. So tell
That's
the
right.
folks why you're
That's
called
right.
Bolo.
It is the longest, it's too long of a story, and I'll skip the story and just say this. I know, yes, mark the time. A story is too long to tell.
I can't go into it.
Mark down this date, May 18th, the day that Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980. Yes, my wife is Mimi and I am Bolo. So we are Mimi and Bolo. I never knew that the grandparent name was such a big deal. Like a friend of mine, they called their grandparents on one side Ace and something. Ace, I can't remember the other name. Ace is a pretty good grandpa name, but I'm happy with Bolo. Bolo's perfect. The kids love saying it. You know, I'll get a text saying, hey, he was going to sleep. And he said, can we go to Bolo's house? There is no feeling on the face of the planet like hearing a little kid's drifting off to sleep and wanting to come to my house. So let me tell you, I am enjoying the grandparent phase immensely. And Bolo has a fire truck, right? Can you be more popular as a grandparent than having a fire engine you can like pull up to their yard?
You're just kind of showing off now.
Yes, 100%. Yes, yes. I'm 1/6 owner of a fire truck, but those kids don't need to know that. They just need to know Bolo can pull up outside, or they can go to a tailgate with Bolo and get on the fire truck, and that's the best.
Are you saying they're never going to learn fractions?
I'm saying they never once. I'm saying four of them have already gone as firefighters, including my granddaughter, have gone as firefighters for Halloween. So, look, I am a large influence on a bunch of tiny little people.
All right. Well, I am in, thanks for asking, Omaha, Nebraska, ahead of the Big Ten baseball tournament. Illinois is the number 9 seed. They'll take on Iowa tomorrow. So we can get into that. But also, the end of the spring season means championships across the board. And, well, there's a team missing when we look at that. So we're going to dive into all of that. But before we do all that, there's something we do first, Robert. What is it?
We're going to light the eye, and here's how we're going to light the eye today. My stepdad made this for me years ago at Christmas. I found it in a box yesterday. We put it back on the shelf. Scott, it's time to light the eye. It's like an Olympic flame.
First off, Robert, good choice to put the candle away from the pile of papers that was on your desk.
Yes, but if that shelf right there, same point, that shelf starts smoldering in any way, let me know as we're recording. Because it is kind of underneath it a little.
Or we could just wait till we post the episode and people can comment.
Okay, yes.
Your shelf's on fire.
Oh, by the way, that hat on the second shelf is on fire. It's far enough away from the box of Cheez-Its from the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. But yeah, I'm a little worried about that hat on the second shelf.
Okay. Does anyone give you kitsch ever, the memorabilia, and you're like, I don't want this?
No, I accept it all. I limit what's on display. You know, that's red. Red has always been hanging right above my head as I write every article.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. We're doing a tour now. This is Revante's shot. Revante Rice's shot to beat Mizzou that I look at always. And then these are just a couple little, you know, Illini things. So right now we have lit the eye in this candle holder.
Fun
and it
fact,
is the Olympic flame.
What you see on display at the Robert Rosenthal Illini Museum is only a small fraction.
It really is.
Of everything really that's in storage.
Before we get going, can I share my newest toy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Show us your toy.
Okay. Again, I'm 1/6 of this. But for the fire engine this year, we have
purchased... For those of you who are audio only,
yes,
you're not missing a ton.
Yes. It is a Red Grange signed, authenticated signed football that we will be displaying in a glass case in the fire engine. Because it's engine 77,
like,
you got to have a Red Grange ground.
Yeah, I sounded like I was being diminutive. No, it's a significant, nice piece. I was just saying... It's easy to describe if you're audio only. It's a football.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
It has
it's a good
Red
point.
Grange's signature on it.
Anybody listening to audio only just heard me pointing at Revante Rice and has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Well, if you devoted listeners will remember, that's your favorite Bragging Rights memory is the Revante Rice shot.
100%.
Okay.
And now I have a signed football from that guy.
Red Grange.
You know, who's to say?
In just over a month, we will find out where Keaton Wagler goes in the NBA draft. And will there be any other Illini names called in the two-day draft process? There's a little bit of nail-biting out there when it comes to Andre Stojakovic, just because he's in the draft process, and he said earlier this week he's all in with both feet, but he's obviously retained his option to come back and play for the Illini, and presumably for a nice amount of money at the same time. when he first put his name in, everyone was, oh, yeah, he'll be back. But then once you're there at the combine, you're being interviewed. I mean, you're not going to say at the combine, well, I'm here, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm all in, and as he should be, right? It'd be like going to a job interview and ask, you know, how much do you want this job? Well, I'm just taking this interview for fun just to see if you'd hire me or not. Yep. So here we sit with Andre Stojakovic and Keaton Wagler, of course, and then Kylan Boswell was out there kind of advocating for himself, recognizing I'm not going to be a primary scorer in the NBA, but I'm here to help lead and facilitate and be a winner.
Yeah, I'm really hoping, well, obviously I hope that Andre will come back, and I'm really hoping that Kylan will catch on somewhere. I'm most fascinated to see where Keaton goes. Here, let me ask you though. You're a Chicago guy. I'm not a Bulls guy. I grew up in St. Louis. I don't have an NBA team. I just cheer for the Illini players in the NBA.
What was the ABA team there? Was it the Spirit?
The Hawks were there.
Oh, that's right.
The ABA team. Yes, the Hawks were there before they moved to Atlanta, and then the ABA team was the Spirits of St. Louis.
Yeah.
But they weren't one of the franchises chosen for the merger and the, you know, all that. Here's my question. I have seen a bunch of comments of like, dear Bulls, please don't draft Keaton Wagler. Like, are Chicago fans that down on the Bulls that it's like, you would ruin our boy? I mean, is that where we're at now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's kind of like, I think it's kind of like, with all due respect to our guy Isaiah Williams, but it's like, don't go to the Jets if you're getting drafted.
I see what you're saying. It's like, yeah,
we want to see you have success.
And I'm guessing part of it is because I blossomed this spring at Minnesota, and there's probably some like, they kept him down for 3 years, and therefore, you know, don't do the same with Keaton. I'm guessing that that's some part of this, but still, it's weird to me for a team that I don't follow. I saw it on our Slack channel. I saw it on Twitter of like, there's this whole thing of, I guess people are like, please no, please don't take him fourth with the Bulls. I want to see him thrive in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, you know, if the, any team that's drafting is in some sort of rebuild mode, right? So
true.
Drafting as high as Keaton Wagler is going to go, right? But you would like to see your guy go to a place where you think, okay, he's going to add, and you can see a path forward. It's just hard to see that with the Bulls, even though they're going through a transition into the front office. So who knows? Maybe it'd be a wonderful thing. I mean, it would be great for the geographic connection. And it was great that Io loved, I think, being a Bull. He said he had a hard time with the trade and everything, but he's fully embraced being a Minnesota Timberwolf, and you got Terrence Shannon Jr. there. They had pretty good postseason performance. I mean, they had some outstanding individual ones, but I think they're in a better place now. But Io, you know, he's born and raised in Chicago, and he loved it. So he loved being announced as a Bull.
Yep.
So
that's what's a weird thing for me of like, okay, let me find it. I was a Rams season ticket holder when they were in St. Louis, and when the Rams went to the Super Bowl in 99 and won it all over the Titans, the Rams starting fullback was Robert Holcomb, leading rusher in Illini history. To me, to have Robert Holcomb on that team, to have an Illini as the fullback on that team was like this huge, like, oh my gosh, my team and one of my Illini guys is there. So that's why, it's just why it's, I understand being negative toward your team when things have gone poorly, but it's hard for me to wrap my brain around a mindset of, please don't have the hometown guy on the hometown team. Because I hate them so much that they will ruin him. That's just fascinating to me.
I don't know if it's hate. I think it's distrust.
Okay. It makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, I know enough about the moves that have been made and what players were kept and what were jettisoned and everything else. But it's still interesting to me because my dream situation is, you know, that AJ Putty becomes Big Ten Player of the Year in 2 years and then gets drafted by the Cardinals and then is playing first base in Busch Stadium. You know, like that's the ideal. And I feel like Bulls fans would still really want Keaton to be the one to turn him around, right?
Yeah. If they had the right people that they believed in.
Got it. So it is that dark then. It is. We are in dark, dark days in Bull Nation.
Admittedly, I am. There are folks here who are following our podcast that are way more knowledgeable and invested in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I just say that's where my brain, like, I just can't consume more. But I'm in a different position. And I don't know. I think Champaign Urbana has some NBA following, but I think it's more. I might be in my own little bubble. I think it's more connected to, well, what are Illini players doing?
Yeah.
And then I think everyone's, because, you know, once you get some playoffs, everyone's kind of a casual. If you're a sports fan, you just kind of, you might pay attention to the headlines, or I'm going to tune in because this is kind of what's on. But to me, I am such a distant follower of the NBA right now.
Let me ask you this question then. I don't think you and I have ever had this conversation. Michael Massey, you know, you got to call Massey games. Then he's now with the Royals. Do you check in on Illini baseball players, just like check their box scores or see how they're doing, or what's your relationship with that after they graduate and move on?
Yep, I do. Honestly, it's a little bit easier MLB wise. You have to be a little more intentional with the guys that are in the minor leagues and checking their, what have they been up to. So that's more like once a week, once every other week. I'm like, what are they doing? Massey's a little more kind of constant because it's just so easy on your phone to just pull up a box score and see what he's doing, you know. So he's hit a couple home runs already and started the year on the IL. But I do, like, where are the Illini guys?
And
I do want to follow that for sure.
Okay.
And I've noticed a lot of people in the world of baseball who've been involved, like coaches. I mean, I think everybody has their team they grew up with. You know, Dan Hartland grew up in Hamilton, Ohio. He's a big Reds fan. But I think everybody is like, the guys I played with, the guys I coached with, you know, that's almost who you're rooting for more than a team anymore. It's interesting, you know. And then at some point, Michael Massey grew up rooting for the Chicago White Sox, but he's regularly trying to beat them for a living.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's interesting.
So,
all right. All here on the tangent, so I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep asking you questions. Who's the most successful?
Did you hear that? Can I go?
No, I'll hear it on the microphone. Listen back. Who is the?
Wait, one more time, in case somebody's listening in their car and there's a lot of road noise. Let me try and do it. Say it one more time that you're going to go on the keep going.
You know,
I'm
going to go on a tangent here, even though this isn't what we're going to talk about.
Okay. Okay.
Who is the most successful Illini baseball alum?
Lou Boudreau?
I mean, it's a debate for basketball, even as to who had the best. I mean, I guess Lou Boudreau,
right,
is probably the answer, right?
In the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that probably does answer the question.
Yeah.
But like maybe of late, like of your lifetime, is it Spezio? Is it Darren Fletcher?
I would. Without doing a stat comparison, I mean, Spezio won a little bit because he was involved in got a couple of rings.
Yeah, he won with the Angels and with the Cardinals.
Yeah. I mean, Darren Fletcher had a really solid, you know, career. He was a good player, journeyman, very connected to the Canadian baseball world, having played in both Montreal and Toronto. So,
yep.
I would, yeah. It's that's kind
probably
of a toss up. I mean, there's some, you know, Ken Holtzman. So,
it's kind of funny. Cardinal fans remember Spezio for this. Like, I don't think general baseball fans know this, but, you know, Cardinals didn't win in 04 with this massive, awesome team, 110 wins or whatever, and didn't win in 05. 06, they struggled all year. They didn't have their players. There were injuries. They got to the playoffs at 83 and 79 and then won the World Series. And to get to the playoffs, on the Saturday before the second to last day of the season, they are losing at home, and Spezio hit a triple in like the bottom of the eighth to win the game and to put the Cardinals in the playoffs. I think it put them in the playoffs, and then they could rest Chris Carpenter, I think, the next day or something like that. Anyway, he had this huge hit as a Cardinal. So that was a big, like, Illini and my pro teams moment for me of like, wow, this Illini guy just put the team, after this terrible season, they now have a chance still because of, you know, this triple in the bottom of the eighth or whatever it was. So, he comes to mind for me probably more than Fletcher, but again, I've never been a big baseball guy.
Well, they're both in the Illinois Hall of Fame, and Scott Spezio, since we're here on baseball, let's stay on it for a moment. He has a documentary coming out in the summer about his life. He's been very open about his life. I just had him on the radio at one of the last home games for Illinois because there was an alumni reunion for the baseball team. So he's been very public with his struggle with drugs and alcohol that came towards the end of his playing career and how he'd hit rock bottom. He's 8 years sober. He's doing a lot of good now in getting that message out and sharing how his life was transformed. His faith in Christ is the centerpiece of that. He's coaching youth up in Morris, Illinois, and he's still very involved in the baseball world and in ministry. So it's a good redemption story, and looking forward to seeing that documentary when it comes out. Since we're on baseball also, I'm here in Omaha. Illinois is the 9 seed. They will take on Iowa tomorrow at 1 p.m., scheduled first pitch, Charles Schwab Field. So, okay, ask me anything there, Robert, about Big Ten tournament baseball. What do you want to know? It's a new format this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that. It's like you start by being qualifiers into the actual tournament or whatever.
Well, no. I'm not sure why they're using that. It's like a qualifier into the quarterfinals.
Yes.
Everybody's in the tournament, but the seeds 5 through 12 are in a double elimination format in two groups of four.
Yeah.
To narrow it down to four teams from those eight that will go play 1 through 4 in a single elimination format. So the idea is
that format is just semifinals and final. That's it. There's no
quarter semis and finals.
Interesting.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I didn't
Sunday.
Know that. Yeah.
So the idea is it's a hybrid because to maximize opportunities in the postseason, but also reward teams that are in a good position to make the NCAA tournament and not have to exhaust pitching. And because the older model of just take 8 teams trades off, then you're going to leave 9 teams away from having a postseason experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're in one place, in one facility, in one town. So this is the way they're doing it. So
how do you feel about, like, are you good with that?
I am in the place of this year. It's definitely better than last year's format where they had set it up with pool play, but tiebreaker went to the higher seed, that being the lower number. And so there was teams that were playing a second meaningless game last year because they lost their first.
Yeah.
So that's a step forward. I have thought this through a couple of different times, and There's aspects I don't like about it, but at the same time, everybody does have a chance in this scenario. Yeah. And it's about the best you can come up with. Here's the only drawback about a tournament in Omaha. It's home games for Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But they will fill up the lower bowl of a 20,000, 25,000 seat stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so otherwise, this town is a great sports and convention town. The facility where the College World Series is literally built for an event like this. I mean, it just the logistics of the whole thing are perfect with that facility. The only drawback is you've got teams in a national conference that are flying from both coasts potentially. And if you do a single elimination format, you play one game, you're gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, and the other thing is teams that are like UCLA or Oregon right now, they're in the tournament. They don't need to win this tournament to make the tournament. They might be playing, some teams are on the bubble of hosting a regional, but for teams that are more on the bubble, like a Purdue or a Michigan or Ohio State, you know, they want to win a few games and see if their RPI can get high enough and their resume can get good enough that the selection committee will take them. And then there's teams like Illinois this year where you go, okay, well, the only path is just to win the whole thing, which would require you winning a minimum of 5 games mm-hmm. between Tuesday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The extra challenge is if you make it to the Friday quarterfinal, you're going to probably face that team that's been rested's ace.
Yep.
So you're going to go face their Friday guy, their number one guy, where you've probably burned your ace. You have to. You can't hold him back for games that you don't know if you're ever going to play.
Yep.
So there's a whole... But it rewards the teams that played the best through the regular season.
How do you feel... If I would have told you before the season, 9 seed in the Big Ten tournament... How do you feel like as a season that would have been given what you expected from this team?
I would, well, it was hard to know exactly what to expect because of the new faces and new arms. Yep. So I think next year I would not like it as much because I would expect next year the potential for the players that are returning,
mm-hmm.
assume are returning, they still have eligibility because.
Yeah,
we know how that works.
Yep.
And you'll be in your second year with a pitching coach who has definitely improved the staff. If everyone can make jumps, if the pieces that get added from transfer portals or that are coming in from the high school ranks, what have you, if they all make their jumps, it's like, okay, let's make another step. Let's sit higher in the standings. So I don't love it, but you're in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I, you know, compared to like, take Illinois. Let's take Illinois women's basketball. A couple of years ago, I told you, hey, you're going to be in the tournament and you're going to be in a 9 seed. Everyone makes the tournament in women's basketball, right? Or 15. And you're okay, you know. But if it was a new coach and you didn't know what, you know, a lot of new things. But now, next year, like, you expect better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be the case, that next year could be a better year. That's to say this year is not over. I mean, it's baseball. All you got to do is get hot. And this is a pitcher's park. So, and Illinois's got 2 great starters in Reagan Hall and Aiden Flynn, who he should be all freshman mm-hmm. team for sure.
That was going to be my next question is like, I mean, kind of the, I mean, again, I'm an outsider, but like, best freshman hitter in a while, best freshman pitcher in a while?
Yeah. A.J. Putty's been his third.
As far as
fourth
true
most,
freshmen go.
Yeah, fourth most RBI in team history as a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And Aiden Flynn, whoo, he's up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's the best. Cole Kershipper was pretty good as a freshman, but I think Aiden Flynn is better
mm-hmm.
as a freshman.
Yeah.
And he's getting an invite to Team USA.
He get the ball tomorrow?
I think they're sticking with their rotation of Reagan Hall and Aiden Flynn.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, there's a... Yeah, that's just my observation from the outside. I heard you on one broadcast say something about how the whole infield can return. You know, I know junior year in college baseball is the... you get picked in the seventh round. Maybe you think about it's time to go and all that kind of stuff or whatever. But technically, you could have the entire infield back, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, to me, that I feel like you're right. It's setting up for a next year could be a solid season kind of thing.
Yeah. I think what's always in baseball, there's so many like little things. What if this? What if that? And that's always, there's been a lot of on the brink for Illinois this year of, is on the brink a good thing? On the cusp? Do you want to be on the brink? I always think of season on the brink.
Yes, it's Bobby Knight.
The John Feinstein.
Yes, I think you want to be on the cusp and not the brink.
Is the brink is like you're going to, what, be pushed over the edge into the ocean or something? Or are you on the brink of a plank?
Brink makes me think, I think cliff. I'm thinking cliffs. Cusp is like nearing the top of the mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think Illinois has as solid of a draw as anybody that there's a good path into Friday if they play solid baseball. Mm-hmm. And then all you can do from there is just go out there and play and take your swings and throw your pitches and see what happens. It's baseball, so crazy things can happen. Last year, if a Michigan State Spartan right fielder catches a fairly routine fly ball, Nebraska never makes its run to win that tournament and go to the postseason.
Interesting.
You never know. That's baseball.
Here's my final baseball question for you. Who was the kid who went to Mississippi State with his brother?
Vetus Valencius?
Yes. I looked up his stats the other day to see that he's getting a fair number of at-bats, but he's not in the regular starting lineup there. Could be injury. I don't know. But, like, kind of, you know, that was a could have been the star of this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think of stuff like that, and maybe that's a discussion for another time, but, like, to go come off the bench at Mississippi State, is that, I mean, maybe it was financially worth it, and maybe he's setting himself up for better draft position, or I don't know, but it just feels like you could be a star where you played your most of your career and not take the portal route to come off the bench at, you know, to be utility man at Mississippi State.
Yeah, but the chance to go play with your brother.
Yeah,
he's a really good pitcher, and Mississippi State's like saying, like, do you want to play with any other team or do you want to play with the Yankees?
Yeah, you're right. Do you want to go? Do you want a chance to go to Omaha or not? I get it. I get it. I mean, look, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say that when Stefan Vaux wants to transfer to Illinois to have a chance at a Final Four versus, you know, sticking around at Providence. So
exactly,
I know I can't say those things, but then I look and I saw he had like. He had like 19 starts or something out of their 50-some games or whatever. You know, so probably a lot of midweek starts and that type of thing. And it's just like, man, he could have been like the star of this team. But that's what some Providence fans are going to be saying next year when Vaux is leading Illini to the Final Four.
Good comp.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Final Four. Yes.
Over the weekend, Illinois women's track finished second in the Big Ten championships, finishing only behind, you guessed it, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The men finished further behind.
Eighth or ninth, I think.
Yeah, might have been 10th. Yeah, they were a little bit down. I bring this up because now all the championships have been determined in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Obviously, baseball still has, and softball's still has their runs to do, and then golf and track and field will have their national championships. But But we are almost done with every conference champion save for the Big Ten tournament champion in baseball. None of the Big Ten champions this year in any sport, tournament or regular season, were Illinois Fighting Illini.
Yep.
How does that sit with you, sir?
Yeah, it's you know, it's something I've been pondering over the last week or so. My friend Derek had sent me this stat. He's like, just stumbled upon it. And he's like, hey, you know, it's been 2 years since you know, Illinois has won. Let's say this first. This is tied to the fact that golf hasn't won in 3 years, because golf has been men's golf has been keeping this streak alive, winning 13 of 15 over those years, or 13 of 14, actually. You know, they also missed in 2020, but that was COVID and nothing happened. So, you know, golf kind of kept this streak alive for a while. So it's fascinating that I would say the three main revenue sports, football, men's and women's basketball, are combined at their best point in decades due to everything we've talked about. And, you know, basketball's in the Final Four and football went 19 wins the last 2 years, and women's basketball is where it's at the moment. And next year could even be the best year program history. I mean, you know, the potential is there for crazy stuff to happen. And at the same time, there just aren't Big Ten titles happening. This is the first time he sent me the stats. It goes back to, he went back all the way to 82-83. This is the first time there's been two consecutive years without an Illinois team winning a conference title since then. Like, there have only been 6 total years where Illinois went titleless. And the last 2 years are two of those 6 years. So, you know, again, I'll flag it with golf. Illinois won in golf in like 13, in 16, in 17, in 19. That was the only Big Ten title. So golf has been keeping this stat going as the conference has expanded. And obviously it was a lot easier to do it with 10 teams than it is to do it with 18 teams. That's a huge part of this. But it's just interesting of a lot of second places.
Yeah, and yet the overall perspective seems to be, go back to when Josh Whitman was hired, we will win.
Yes.
Well, now it's we are winning.
Yes.
You would like championships, obviously, but I don't think anybody's going, wow, we're just kind of really falling off.
Yes, exactly. It's such a strange thing because we are... You know, even as a program, even in the Director's Cup standings climbing, it's, you know, the only team I think that had just a really kind of bottom of the barrel season was softball this year. And that led to a coaching change and this and that. But there's a lot of middle of the road to upper tier kind of things going on, when before it was women's basketball would win either one or two Big Ten games, you know, for like a decade straight and all of that. So it has definitely risen, and it's just really strange that in that phase of rising, just the conference titles aren't happening at the moment. He sent me, you know, that list, and it's interesting to look at. And again, think back, this is only 10 teams. And at the time in the 80s, like schools like Northwestern and even Wisconsin just didn't put anything into athletics. Like, they didn't care. They didn't really even try. You go to the mid 80s. So like 1988, the 87-88 school year, Illinois won Big Ten titles in volleyball, women's track and field, men's track and field, men's outdoor track and field, men's gymnastics, and men's golf. 89, all those same ones plus baseball won a title. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Big Ten titles in the 88-89. And baseball won again the next year. Football won in 1990. You know, there were a lot of Big Ten titles back then, and it just hasn't happened. You know, here's the list for the 2020s. So obviously 2020 was COVID. 2021, golf and tennis. The 21-22 season was basketball and golf. 22-23 was men's and women's golf, both won. 23-24, baseball and women's indoor track and field. And then nothing in 24-25 and nothing in 25-26. So fascinating stuff of, you know, everything feels so good and we're in a conference title drought. It's so interesting.
Well, to your point, there's the math aspect of this. When you go from 10 to 11 to 14 to
18,
there's just fewer trophies to go around for everybody. But also this year, and I didn't look at last year, but I'm guessing it's similar. This year, 28 conference champions were crowned at the team level. 28. I'm just talking about the conference champions. A few of them, like golf, are determined by their tournament. Mm-hmm. A lot of other sports, you have a regular season champion, and then you have a tournament champion, which may or may not be the same.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about regular season champion or the tournament champion, if that's the only way you have to determine a champion. 28 sports. 13 of them are the West Coast former Pac-12 schools.
That's
There's
crazy.
A couple of others where those teams are in a shared championship.
Mm-hmm.
For example, women's tennis went to Ohio State, Michigan, and USC. Mm-hmm. So I'm not counting those because those were kind of divided up.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of things that, you know, Illinois doesn't participate in men's soccer or men's lacrosse, right? But Johns Hopkins does participate in the Big Ten for lacrosse.
Right.
Notre Dame notably participates for hockey in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Everything else is in the ACC or football is independent.
Yes.
So, the West Coast highly invests in and values and has some geography on their side for a lot of their Olympic sports or non-revenue sports, as they're known. Helps to play baseball in Southern California year-round, right? So you can develop baseball players out there and have a nice recruiting base. Of course, I don't think USC is involved in hockey.
Right.
Maybe they are. I don't know. But it doesn't ring ice hockey like Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan State and Michigan do, right?
Yep.
But yet that conference was struggling financially, and that's what the driver was for those schools to join the Big Ten, where they are arguably the best football conference right now, maybe the best basketball conference. Sometimes that kind of varies year to year.
Mm-hmm.
The strength of the conference in the big sports is in the Big Ten. The strength of some of the non-rev sports seems to live on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just something I notice.
If UCLA wasn't in the conference, Illinois wins the golf title the last 2 years. And we're not even talking about this, you know. Illinois finished second to UCLA both years. So
if the West Coast teams aren't in the conference, Illinois baseball finishes a lot better in the standings.
Yes, yes, yes. And repeat this for all sports. You know, UCLA won the title in women's basketball. There is a
the Big Ten
it's very
swept
similar
football.
To yes, men's basketball, women's basketball, and football all go to Big Ten titles, which speaks to, hey, the conference as a whole is as strong as it's ever been, and the trickle down from that is probably the same. And look, even Ohio State didn't win the Big Ten title in tennis for the first time in, like, forever. I mean, Illinois beat them in 21, and then before that they hadn't, like, lost it in 10 years or something like that. So, yeah, it's really, it's it's such a fascinating statistic because I've never felt so solid about where the programs are. You know, I think it's fair to say that, you know, there are four sports that sell tickets at Illinois. Those sports are football, men's basketball, women's basketball, and volleyball. And of those, only volleyball is in a spot that it has not been or is below its typical level. And everything else feels at least solid this year, except for softball. And here we are discussing no titles. So, you know, still the only team to win, you know, that stat is really impressive. Win a bowl game, win a game in the tournament for men's and women's basketball 2 years in a row. Illinois, the only team in the only school in the country. And yet, here we are.
Seems like a good idea to start a podcast. Good timing.
I think it is. I think it is. I think
strike while that iron's hot. So consider that.
Maybe go to the Final Four. I should probably say that when I'm pausing there, I'm on the video holding my shirt up, which is an Illini Final Four shirt. Hey, can I tell the story about wearing it around St. Louis last weekend? Give me a time limit. Give me a time limit. You can make it
short. 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Oh, I'll be shorter than that.
Okay.
Do you know how satisfying it is to wear this shirt around St. Louis? Okay, so here's the thing. Missouri fans are mouthy and also insecure, all right? They know they've never been to a Final Four. That's their big thing. There are three programs that can get to the tournament and can't get to the Final Four. Those three programs are Xavier, Mizzou, and BYU. Those are the three tournament chokers. By far and above any other program, they can get to the tournament, they just can't get to the Final Four. So, as someone who lived in St. Louis forever, I've always worn Illini gear. When Mizzou football surged, when they beat us six straight in the 2000s, that was really tough for me because I'm going to Home Depot in an Illini shirt and I'm getting Snickers from somebody wearing a Mizzou SEC championship shirt and all this kind of stuff.
The candy bar or the ha-ha? Your team lost, Snickers.
Yes, the ha-ha version. So, you know, there have been some, again, when we would lose bragging rights, I would return home to my condo in St. Louis to find a tiger tail wrapped around my door, put there by my neighbor. Like, they like to mix it up a little bit, okay? So with a fan base that mixes it up and with a fan base that can't get to the Final Four, do you have any idea how satisfying it is to walk around Costco in St. Louis, buying some things for a grandchild on the way while wearing...
Doing the taste tests?
Yes. While wearing this shirt with massive lettering saying Final Four. Massive. Like the that's a 4-inch final. The lettering is 4 inches tall. It's the one thing that they're insecure about, and it's the one thing I got to wear on my chest. How'd I do on time?
You did fabulous. I think you got in there on the 2 minute drill.
Perfect.
And I just had this image of you going, yeah, my team's better than your team as you're holding a gallon of Kirkland signature mayonnaise.
I go for the big thing of Hellman's they've got there at Costco. I don't really much go for the Kirkland signature mayonnaise. But let me tell you, if I can, Costco and Champagne. You've been out of the pot stickers for a month now, and it's affecting my well-being. Dear Costco manager, the Ling Ling pot stickers, I need them in my life. Thank you.
May or may not have purchased the big jugs of peanut butter-filled pretzels a time or two.
I have it. I wish it was sitting right here on the shelf. I could just pivot the camera to the big thing of peanut butter pretzels. But I need those pot stickers. Yeah. I need them.
If we ran credits at the end of this, it would say Scott Patey's wardrobe provided by Kirkland Signature.
I noticed wearing the headset mic, and you went with the stationary mic this time. I kind of like it. The headset is very baseball announcer, though.
Yes, it is. Well, actually, it depends.
That's a good question. Are you have a stationary mic when you're broadcasting? How do you do your setup?
I like to, but I end up turning my head a lot to look at this thing over here and look at that over there, and then I And there's some like, it's just easier if I can swivel my head and always stay on the microphone. But there is a
makes sense
broadcaster feel when you're into the stationary mic, the RE20 Electro Voice.
Here's my final question for you, since I get all these baseball questions today. Okay. I just saw that highlight again of that like minor league announcer who's like coming right back up here, and then he catches it right in front of his face. Have you ever had one fouled back to the booth?
Yes.
And he catches.
No. I've had it into the booth a time or two. I think our SID, was it last year or the year before, got one into our booth.
Like straight back at you.
Omaha is prime position.
Really?
Yeah, prime position. No net because you're in the upper deck. A lot of college places, you're behind a net, so no shot.
Yeah.
But it can happen. And, okay. Minor league parks, it's happened a time or two.
And it's usually a good there's like tease for getting people to tune in this weekend. See Scott if I, could get beamed in the cheek.
Yeah. See if how many back. Next time on Light the Eye, how many teeth does Scott still have?
Well, all you right, just we gotta go it. With what that one guy did and just like boom, just palm it right there.
That's right. We made it through an episode without you burning down your shelf.
Oh, I didn't even think about it. Well, let me look. Oh yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
We're totally good.
Nice job. All right.
Do we end with me blowing out the candle? Yeah,
that's right. Well, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Light the Eye. We'll talk to you again. Thank you to our producer, excuse me, our sponsor, the U of I Community Credit Union. We're not obviously in studio, but next time we are, we will thank them as well. So go Illini. Go Illinois baseball. We'll talk to you again next time when we light the eye. Blow out the candles, Robert.